Joining us now, he is from Panthers.com, Bill Voth. Bill, what's going on, my man?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. All right, so Panthers preseason in full tilt. Pads have been on. What's kind of the initial takeaway you have from the new shiny toy that we have in Christian McCaffrey?
Well, he's looking like you would hope a top 10 pick would. So, as we know, at any team this time of year, you're going to have everybody saying nice things. It's all flowers and roses, and everything's very shiny. Even up in Cleveland, people are saying happy things about the Browns these days. So when you get a top 10 pick, these are the things that you hope to hear about him. It's a long way away from actually having it happen in the regular season. I think Jonathan Stewart perhaps got a little carried away when he said he doesn't think anyone in the NFL will be able to cover McCaffrey one-on-one. But still, these are good things to be hearing. And to be fair, Christian does look like no one else does out there. There is something different about him, something different about what the Panthers in him that the Panthers haven't had over the last 2 years. So far, so good on that front.
Yeah, I think Mike Tyson said it best. Everyone has a plan until they get hit in the face. So right. We'll see what this really means. I'm curious about McCaffrey and his role and how it could play out. I mean, obviously, his success is going to be directly related to Mike Shula's willingness or ability to be creative. And so far, it seems to be bearing out in the playbook. Can we anticipate that it'll be able to play its way out throughout the season?
Yeah, and I can't imagine that so far during the training camp and preseason, all the stuff, they're going to show too many of their cards. So even the stuff we see right now is still going to be pretty limited. And it's not just on Shula, to be fair. It also depends a lot on the quarterback and situations where he needs to take layups. Is he actually going to take those and put the ball in his hand? And one more time, is apparently on a Shula soapbox right here. But in 2016, going into 2016, Mike Shula said, listen, I need a second pass-catching tight end. I need a different kind of running back, a faster-type guy, and Dave Gettleman didn't give him anything. And so the Panthers went into 2016 with essentially the same personnel that they had in 2015, knowing that there's a pretty good chance the defenses were going to catch up to him. So we saw a lot of that last year. And now this year, one of the points about McCaffrey is to make defenses wonder what the heck is going on, not just game planning wise going into games, but during games as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the chatter seems to center around McCaffrey and even the return of Peppers. Who else, you know, of the new additions, both rookies and free agents, who's standing out and what can we expect from them?
It's still so early to really, you know, say standouts. But I'll tell you what, Russell Shepard, while I've been trying to tell people to temper expectations for him because there is just one ball to go around between Akam and Stewart and McCaffrey and Funches and Olsen and Benjamin. And so really, where's Russell Shepard going to get his touches? But he has been one of Cam's favorite targets so far this summer, and he was pretty good with Derek Anderson in the spring. So he's a guy that I think is going to help the Panthers in a situational role as a receiver during the year. Just exactly what they wanted. They knew that he'd get a jersey every week as a special teams guy. But I think he'll be able to help the Panthers as a receiver and upgrade that Philly Brown role.
But what about the offensive line? I mean, that's definitely one of the storylines coming into this season. And, you know, with McCaffrey and all these guys that we seem to be accumulating on offense here, you know, is Cam going to have time to get the ball down the field, or are we going to be trying to get things out quicker and maybe, you know, try and get the things to the outside a little bit more with this offensive line? Or are they going to be solid?
Well, those are kind of two different questions as far as the vertical game and whether Cam will be, you know, be have as much involvement in a vertical game as he's had in previous years. That's too early to tell right now in camp because they're not going to take too many shots with his arm right now or with his shoulder. But I also think they're going to cut back on a lot of that vertical game, which is actually one of my concerns, is who, if you don't have Curtis Samuel out there, and he's been dealing with a hamstring injury, if you don't have Curtis Samuel out there, which receiver are you actually going to send deep and stretch the field? So I think while they're doing a good thing here, kind of focusing on the short and intermediate passing games and getting Cam to take more layups, especially with a potentially iffy offensive line at tackles, I also then wonder if they're going to have that opposite problem and not have enough guys to actually stretch the field. But as far as the offensive line is concerned, I think that's always going to be a concern, not just going into week one, but through 16 weeks. One of the reasons why they had so much success in 2015 is the line stayed healthy. Last year it didn't, and when you see just across the league when lines get banged up, it's not just here. It's hard enough to find two okay tackles in this league. So then when one or two of your guys gets hurt, you got to get really lucky with your backups. So you're not going to have good depth going into a season. So if a guy like Matt Khalil doesn't work out or isn't healthy and you have to move Darrell Williams over there and throw Taylor Moten into the fire, then yeah, it could be all sorts of problems yet again. So a lot of this depends on what I think is the house of cards for so many NFL teams, and that's keeping your tackles healthy.
Well, we're talking to Bill Voth, our good friend from Panthers.com. And, Bill, I'm just curious. A lot of coaches, they think they have the mastery of subliminal messaging, but it's the most in-your-face subliminal messaging ever, and they develop themes. And you've heard climb the mountain, plant the flag, snap to whistle. Is there a theme that's emerging that you're hearing from the coaching staff during this camp that maybe there's a message they're trying to get across?
Not necessarily. I know Ron a couple of weeks ago told Albert Breer with MMQB that it was something about how last year could end up being a good thing for us and all that other stuff. But no, I wouldn't say there's any too many rah-rah themes just yet. It's a typical training camp, especially with Cam and them around, which is, you know, a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming back and forth, and just trying to keep everybody as healthy as can be. I am a believer now in Super Bowl hangovers after I saw what happened last year. I am a believer in that. So I can't imagine what the Falcons are going to be going through. But I think that there is a weight lifted off of a lot of people's shoulders this year as compared to last.
Well, you know, now with fantasy football, and you've got everybody who is a football fan is now all of a sudden an expert. I think everyone has embraced the idea that the preseason games are built like a sandwich. You've got a little bread on either side, and the meat is in the middle. The first game is not necessarily going to tell you much, and the last game can be a bit of a throwaway. When you look at the meat of this preseason schedule, what can we expect to learn by that point in the preseason from the Panthers and what we can expect?
I will probably, as always, overanalyze what happens with first team offenses and defense, and then we'll also make big deals out of, say, fourth, fifth, sixth string running backs and receivers and defensive ends, like Rakim Cox a few years ago, who had, I think it was like a couple sacks against the Bills' third-string offensive line, and people were thinking he was going to be the next Julius Peppers or Brandon Weger, and so we'll probably overrate all that other stuff. I do think what the preseason is going to be important for is perhaps that those backup tackle positions and then the kicking contest, which I don't think has been much of a contest so far. I think Graham Gano's comfortably ahead, but if he struggles in the preseason and if Harrison Butker gets a chance and his nails, then who knows? There might be a change there. But I think the preseason game, as we mentioned about earlier, is the offense is probably holding a lot of their cards close to their vest. So even if the offense doesn't come out and show all these new wrinkles and all that other stuff, well, if you're a fan, you hope they're not going to come out and show a lot of wrinkles in the preseason, because you want to have all that stuff saved for the regular season.
Again, Bill Voth from Panthers.com joining us. And Bill, I mean, this team is black and blue, but yet they're wearing white jerseys most of the season. It was released this week that they're going to wear the white uniforms 9 times, the black uniforms 5 times, only the blue twice, and one of them's the color rush. What's going on? I mean, people seem to like the blue jerseys. Why not wear them more?
That's over my pay grade. People also want black helmets and a black and all that other stuff. So that's one of the parts of this job that I don't really get into, is the whole uniform stuff. I get that a lot of fans get crazy about it, but I also think that it's crazy that so many people go crazy over it. But I guess it's fun, but it's also I kind of just listen. I'm from Cleveland, so. The Browns have had, I would imagine, could qualify as some of the most traditional but also most ugly uniforms in the history of American sports. And I've never really cared. All I've really cared is whether they're good or not. And they haven't been good for a very long time. So if the uniforms aren't, that never really mattered all that much to me either.
It's been proven optically you look bigger in white. So maybe we should read that as this is an undersized team.
I mean, they're wearing white the first 5 weeks of the season because it's hot probably everywhere that they're playing.
That
but
makes
it just,
sense.
But you would just think that, you know, they would maybe alternate a little bit more between the black and the blue as the season goes on. But I totally get it early on, so.
I'm not sure. Again, this is going to really show how far out of my lane I am here. They may have a limit on the alternate blue jersey, and maybe it's just a two-game limit where each team could do their alternates. I'm making that up off the top of my head, and that's something I probably should know, but it's also, again, a part of this job that I also do a good job of trying not to know.
So what do you feel about these preseason rankings? I mean, we've kind of seen all over the board. I mean, we've seen them coming in last. We've seen probably – I don't think we've seen them winning the division. I think we've seen anywhere from second, third to fourth in the division. I mean, honestly, what are you looking for? And if you look at the schedule, kind of where do you think things go?
Rankings are about like preseason rankings and power rankings and mock drafts and uniforms. They're kind of all in like the same like bowl. It's like, do they really matter? I do think though it's safe to say that the NFC South is really difficult to predict because Panthers have a lot of talent of a team that went 15 and won just 2 years ago. They have a lot of that talent still here. The Falcons, I think they are going to be massively affected by a Super Bowl hangover. But what if they're not? And I think it's pretty clear that the Tampa's getting better, and especially offensively with some of the weapons they brought in this offseason. So I don't think the Saints are all that scary. But as far as the other three teams in the NFC South, throw them into a hat and pick them out. I don't think the Panthers are a clear first place team or a clear last place team. I think it's going to be looking at it from a preseason wise, I think it's really tough to say that any of those three teams are that much better than the others.
Bill, I'm curious. You've always been our Panthers insider. We've counted on you for information, but now you've got access that you haven't had in the past. I'm curious about leadership. We as a culture, we force Cam out front because he's a quarterback and quarterbacks are supposed to be leaders. I think he's a reluctant leader. I'd rather see him just play well and not have to worry about all that stuff, but that's just not the reality. When you see this team working out and in the locker room, who are some of the people who are leading the charge? Who are the vocal and non-vocal leaders on this team right now as it's emerging in camp?
Well, I think one of the concerns I started thinking about this spring was who's going to lead that receiver room, because Kelvin's not really a natural leader. Devin Funches is still pretty young. But so Russell Shepard has taken it upon himself to be a leader in that room. But going back to Cam, I talked to him a couple months ago for a piece, and I had noticed that he did that trip up to, I think it was Raleigh, with Olsen and Khalil and Keekly and a bunch of those other guys to see Kings of Leon, and that's not something Cam's ever done before. And Cam went bowling with Julius Peppers and some other guys, and Cam went to Top Golf with a bunch of other guys. And he said back then that he actually is now he's trying to hang out more with his teammates more than he ever has before, because he thinks that he's now finally starting to buy in that stuff might actually help. And I'll tell you what, one of the neater things at training camp is when you have a table, and I know I'm going to forget a couple names now, but a table of Cam, Julius Peppers, Thomas Davis, Captain Munnerlyn, Charles Johnson, Luke Kuechly, and again, I'm missing another name or two, just sitting around the table playing cards every afternoon. That, first of all, I think if you're a Panthers fan, to be able to just sit there and eavesdrop for an hour would be kind of fun, and a lot of people would probably pay for something like that. But the fact that Cam is involved in those every single afternoon still shows to me that he thinks there is something with this whole team bonding thing. Will it matter on Sundays? I don't know, but he's at least trying.
Well, Bill, man, we appreciate you coming on. We're going to check in with you once in a while as we get closer. And as the season starts, so make sure that you got all your ducks in a row and your uniform choices all ready to rock.
Yeah, that's not my I think Brian Strickland with Panthers.com is on the uniform beat. And I think Scott Fowler with the Observer, he's on the uniform beat around here too. That's I'm not your guy for that, unfortunately. But I can hook you up with those two if you want.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, guys.